my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. My name is Abby Murphy, and today I am solo. This feels so weird. Like, I feel out of place. I used to do my podcasts like this all the time. Like, I feel weird even talking right now. Like, this is weird to me. I used to do my podcasts solo all the time, but now that I have, is this camera crooked? Am I the only one who thinks this camera's crooked? Sorry if you're listening right now. Okay, I just fixed it. If you're watching, I just fixed the camera. It's literally so close to my face right now. But as I was saying, I used to do my podcasts like this all the time. But now that I've been doing them with Ryan, it feels weird to do them without Ryan. And I don't like not having Ryan here. But I also think it's really important what I have been kind of felt led to talk about on this podcast today. So before I get into this podcast, I just want to go ahead and put out a trigger warning before I really get into the nitty-gritty of what I'm going to be talking about today. Today's episode is going to be about my eating disorder story. I'm going to dive into that physically, how that played a toll on me. I'm going to dive into it mentally, how it played a toll on me. My personal experiences, I don't claim to have a step-by-step process of, you know, going through a treatment or a way to properly heal yourself from an eating disorder, but I do have my experiences that I hope can benefit someone who may be going through that as well at this time or something similar, or maybe it can help you realize something that you've been kind of putting off to the side, that maybe you just needed that one person to kind of call you out. Or maybe this is just something that you can relate to. Maybe you've been there. Or maybe this is just a story time. You know, you never experienced anything with eating disorder or with food, but you just kind of want to listen. Because the number one thing about an eating disorder that I've learned is that it is not about food. It is about control. And I will dig into what that really means in the episode. But I wanted to put that trigger warning out. Along with the mental side of an eating disorder also comes my experience with not wanting to be on the earth. And so I will also be talking about that as well. And yeah, it's going to be some really serious topics, but very beneficial, hopefully for the listener. And yeah, so I just wanted to go ahead and put that out there. Without further ado, let's actually get into the episode. Okay, so hi, my name is Abby Murphy. Yeah, so the last time that I did my eating disorder story was, I think, like my third or fourth episode of the podcast during my freshman year of high school. And that was like three and a half years ago. It was a long time ago. And I just recently, well, I say recently, it's been like 10, 11 weeks now of rebranding the podcast. I've been doing it for 3 years, but just rebranded, and now I am co-hosts with my boyfriend, my awesome, amazing boyfriend, Ryan Luckett. I love him so much. So we kind of had more growth once he joined the podcast, which is all glory to God. So grateful for that. But yeah, this is how I used to do things. I'm going back to my roots, people. This is what it used to be. And it's weird. Like, it's just me. I don't have someone to like bounce things off of. And I forget that this is what I used to do like all the time. So bear with me as I try to like refocus myself and like kind of feel through, oh, you haven't talked for an hour to yourself in a long time. You're kind of out of the routine of it. But I'm really excited. And hopefully I don't say a lot. So maybe a fun game for you to play is counting how many times I say or because I know that that is my toxic trait when doing solo podcast episodes, especially when sometimes I would listen back and I would be like, girl, what are you doing? Stop doing that, please, right now. Thank you. Anyways, we have had a lot of emphasis on our Instagram as we grow with running and food and I love it. I'm very, very extremely passionate about fitness and faith and how those two coexist together and how why I run and why I fuel myself properly and healthily. And, I'm very passionate about fitness and faith is, or the reason I am very passionate about fitness is because of faith, but that all comes from a very, very deep history that some people I've noticed have listened to that. And I have seen some DMs of people who have like gone back to when I first started the podcast and listened to my eating disorder story. And I see all the messages, I see all the DMs. Sadly, we can't answer all of them, but I do see what you say and I read it and Ryan and I talk about it. And it's truly so inspiring hearing people want to better themselves or open up about how they've struggled with personal food things as well, or exercise addiction, which I'll also get into, just all of it. And it had been playing on my mind a lot to talk about it because I hadn't talked about it in 3 years, and we have a lot of new listeners. And so Ryan and I took this weekend. Usually we film during the weekends, and we just kept feeling like the podcast isn't our full-time job or anything, but we both love to put so much time and energy and effort into everything that goes into the podcast. And I know Ryan would do more if he didn't also have a 9-to-5, because he literally works an actual big boy job and works so hard and provides, even though we're not married, provides for me and spends money on me, and it's sweet and it's great and it's amazing. But we just found this weekend, we were like, we just want to rest. We want to rest. And so today, I told him, I was like, what if I, I've kind of been wanting to do a eating disorder story podcast. What if I just kind of, took the reins on that and did a little solo episode? And he was like, oh my goodness, like that would be amazing. So that is what I'm doing today. And so I kind of want to just go ahead and get right into it. I will say, since Ryan isn't here, I don't have someone to bounce off my silly, goofy ideas with. So before I get into the seriousness of it, I'm going to start off with a run thought that I had this morning on my run. So I was thinking of the word men, like man and woman. I was listening to a podcast and they said like man and woman. And I was like, I think I've figured out why, because it says in the Bible that Adam came up with the words that things were. I guess God created man and woman. But did God create the word man to call Adam man? Or did he create Adam and say Adam, and then Adam was like, I am a man? Some theologian tell me that. I think it doesn't matter. I don't have an answer. But I think it's very interesting that...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Man, okay, man, is both in is the word man, and in the word woman, woman. So man is like mankind, right? So then where does the womb come from? So then I'm like, what does womb sound like? Womb, and women have wombs. Therefore, woman is womb man, meaning woman. You can't tell me that that's not accurate. Is that how the word woman came to be? Let's talk about it, but not right now, because we're going to jump into my eating disorder story. So this is really, really important to me. It is my passion to talk about and help people who have also gone through this. And the Lord has orchestrated so many relationships in my life that the reason I, that, and again, he doesn't have to show me any sort of, this is why you went through this, but he's such a good God that he has allowed me to meet people who have also struggled with this, or I'm cross paths with them during their struggle of disorderly thinking around food, body image, working out, exercise, and being able to pull from my experiences and help others, and vice versa, having people and mentors pour into me when I relapsed or when I struggle, or still to this day, I'm trying to figure out how to eat properly and fuel myself properly. It's the goodness of God is so prevalent in everyone's stories, and I'm so grateful to have an experience where the Lord used such pain and such sorrow for such goodness. And I'm just grateful to be a part of his army and a part of the kingdom of heaven. And yeah. So where I'm at today, I want to go ahead and just start off with where I'm at today before I dig into the past. I am suffering a lot of consequences today of how my past was. I'm very open about having a therapist and a dietitian. I've been in and out of having a therapist and dietitian in college because I have a lot of digestive issues. I was in the hospital in February because I had some serious digestion problems. Been in and out of having a period, on and off, trying to get it back on, trying to get it consistent. Just lots of things that I'm talking with my dietitian about. Fueling properly, what does that look like? This, and it's where I'm at right now is just trying to eat consistently and eat enough. And it's not because I am actively restricting myself, like trying to restrict myself. It's because my stomach pain gets so bad to where I'm at times either not hungry, so I don't think about it, or I'm afraid of the fear that comes with eating something, like what if this upsets my stomach and makes me feel awful and sick, because it kind of, I'm realizing and unpacking in therapy and in talking with my dietitian that I am a little bit scarred from my experience at the hospital in February with all of my digestion stuff. I won't get too much into it because that's not really the topic of today's podcast. I'm on the road to getting my period back. I had a period last month. That's really big for me. And I am supposed to start my period tomorrow. So prayers for that, ladies and gents. But I just wanted to go ahead and kind of preface that and put out where I am right now. I know some people believe, you know, you're never fully recovered from an eating disorder. Like, kind of like the saying, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Like, if anyone has heard that, again, I'm not saying I believe that, but that kind of mentality is there. Like, once you've struggled with something, you always have to keep an eye on it. And I think that can be true to a certain extent. However, where I'm at now, I consider myself fully recovered and trying to actively just get my body back to where it needs to be. I wanted to go ahead and just let people know that before you listen to what my story is. Not trying to validate saying like, oh, everything I think is right, but just so you know where I am mentally, because so often we see things on social media that highlight toxic ways of thinking. And mentally, I believe this is one of the strongest places I've ever been in involving food and exercise, and also as like aware of my body as I've ever been, and being truthful with myself and saying, you're restricting here right now, and that isn't healthy, all the way to, wow, you did really good today. Like, you followed the plan of fueling yourself properly, and good for you, girl, because you know that's what you want. And oh, you accidentally skipped a meal today, which I never thought I was going to be someone who forgot about food so much that they would accidentally skip a meal. Never thought that would be me. Always thought that food thoughts would consume my life. I'm here to tell you, if you think that you are never going to live a day where you can stop thinking about food, I was that girl, and I am at the point now where I literally more often than not don't think about it, and it's to my downfall because I am running so much, I am lifting so much, and I love being active. But if I can't get on my stuff and fuel myself properly, it's gonna get taken away. And yeah, so with that being said, that's where I'm at right now. I'm very open about it. Ask me all the questions, ask me all the things. That is why I put Miralax in my water, everybody. Just so you know, there was a reel that went around and there was like a comment and someone was like, eating disorder behavior, like she puts Miralax in her water and whatever, blah, 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 blah. Those are very valid thoughts, because there's not, like, I can't put in a 1 minute reel, this is why I take Miralax, because I was in the hospital and the doctor diagnosed me to have Miralax and put me on this for a month and I have to have a certain amount. Like, I'm not going to do that. No one wants to hear about my laxatives that I'm taking. But now, if you are a podcast listener and a reel watcher on Instagram or watch the TikToks, YouTube, wherever you see our content, now you know I've got some stuff I'm working on, people. But yeah, I'm very open about it. Love talking about it. And now let's go back in the past. So, little fifth grade Abby. Well, actually, that was from fifth to seventh grade was my, like, diagnosed anorexia period of time. Now, I will say, looking back on my childhood from as long as I can remember, I was always trying to be less than in some way, comparing myself to my peers. I remember when I was like eight, I started weighing myself, maybe seven, six or seven, I started weighing myself. I would get on the scale that my mom had in the bathroom and it would be like 70 pounds, 80 pounds. And I remember being like 8 years old and being like, oh my gosh, I'm 80. I need to go back to 75 because so-and-so said she was 75 pounds. And I mean, 7 years old, like, and I don't know where that came from. I remember having a phase when I was, like seven, eight, nine, where I would take pictures with the other girls and I was always a little taller. And I thought I was a lot bigger. And looking back at pictures, I was, I don't know, I don't want to compare like little girls' sizes, but I was not overweight in any way for my age and height. I was a healthy weight, but I just didn't, I guess I had like body dysmorphia when I was 8 years old. Like, I don't know, but I remember like taking pictures with my friends and crouching down and trying to like crunch my back down so that I would be shorter. I remember sitting on the swing outside of my house that I'm living in today and looking at my thighs and being upset that my thighs got bigger when I sat down. Oh my gosh, I literally forgot about that. It like literally just came back to me. I remember that. I remember taking my hands on either side of my leg, sitting down and putting like a hand on one side, a hand on the other, and then standing up and keeping my hands in the same place and seeing like the distance. That is insane to me. I remember that. Oh my goodness. That, sorry, I just like completely blocked out that memory and it just came back and I like said it and then it, I recalled it and like actually remembered it. Wow, that's wild. Yeah, just lots of things like that. I remember having a conversation when I was in second grade with a girl and she was like, my birthday's August, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, yes, mine's September 18th. That means I'm younger. Like, I mean, I not even body-wise, I wanted to be the youngest. I wanted to be the smallest. I wanted to be the shortest. I just wanted to be small and less than in every way. I don't know where that stemmed from. I've done dance my whole life. I mean, I was in dance classes when I was 2. I know that's really hard for a lot of people involved in dance. You're in a leotard and staring at yourself for hours. So it's really hard. And then who knows what your dance teacher is saying to you. There's so much toxic. You need to lose this much, whatever, speech spoken to young women and men in dance. And I also did gymnastics. I know that can kind of play into a lot of it, especially because in gymnastics, you do want to be small. Stereotypically, that's what it seems. I kind of like left the gymnastics world, so I'm not really as familiar. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I was always in, growing up, I was always in the everyone is watching you light. You know, dance recitals and just gymnastics and whatever. I guess it could be the same for sports as well. I mean, it can be the same for anything. I was just doing an activity. Yeah, but I just always wanted to be small. And then one day in fifth grade, well, in third, I remember in third grade, my eating habits got really, really bad. And I remember specifically the moment everything changed for me was sometime during fifth grade, because I was an active-ish kid, but I never played a sport. So my mom would like want me to go on walks. And I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go on a walk. Like, what third grader wants to go on a walk? But I would always dance and I did theater and, you know. But I remember this being the turning point for me. And my mom didn't. This is not me blaming anything on my mom, because I would have said the same thing to my child. I don't remember if I ate dinner or not, but I had a bowl. It was a red bowl. It was a red glass bowl. And I put like Lay's potato chips and pretzels and chocolate and just like a huge bowl of all of these not as nourishing items. Not as nourishing for your body. It was more processed foods, just foods that the world today would call unhealthy. I don't like to call anything unhealthy. The way you eat is the way you eat, but it's those foods will not make you feel as good as some more whole foods. With that being said, for the sake of me having explained myself now, I basically just had a bowl of junk. And I sat down to eat it on the chair, on this little brown linen chair. And I just remember my mom being like, Abby, what are you eating? And very rightly so. It was just like just all of this stuff in a bowl. And I like hadn't even eaten dinner yet. I don't know what it was. But I mean, it was my mom was basically just like, wait till after dinner, you know, to eat that. Like you need something substantial in your body. You know, she was doing her job. Like that's what a good mother would do. But the way that I interpreted it was just like, not the way that she meant it, because she meant like eat your veggies first and then you can, you know, have your treat after. But the way that I internalized it was like not that at all, and something just switched in my brain. And I don't know if that was the exact moment, but I remember that being a point where I was like, I'm disgusting. I remember thinking that, like I looked down at my bowl, I don't even think I finished it. And I was like, I am disgusting. And so, yeah, then I was like, I'm going to eat healthier. And I don't really remember how it got started, but I do remember it getting out of hand in fifth grade. I remember the fall of my fifth grade year, I started looking at serving sizes. I remember specifically counting out 8 Sour Patch Kids because that was all I could eat, because that was the serving size, was 8. I remember, or maybe it was 14. I don't know. Anyways, I remember doing like ab workouts. I remember like just in my room watching Victorious, I would just do like ab workouts. I remember yeah, just kind of like implementing and being more mindful. We would go out to eat and I would get pasta salad instead of fried chicken fingers. I would get a sandwich with lettuce instead of a grilled cheese. Just trying to be more mindful. And I don't really think that at that point it was anything to worry about at all. And honestly, I started feeling really good. I was in control of what I was putting in my body, and I remember feeling like I had some sort of power. And I remember not loving my body simultaneously at the same time. I've never loved my body. And I mean, obviously post, like in recovery, I've learned to love myself. But at that point, I had never, up to that fifth grade year, I had never loved my body. I always thought it was too hairy. I always thought I was too fluffy and soft. I always thought I was a little bit bigger. I wondered why, you know, my chest was getting floppier. yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. So anyways, fifth grade, yeah, I just started eating healthier. And then that was the fall. I remember Halloween was when we started getting concerned. I didn't want to eat candy. I didn't want to eat any of the snacks mom had made. I think I like maybe picked off a hot dog or something, like just like picked at it. Yeah, I remember Halloween being the point of worry. Somewhat not extreme worry, but just, oh, what, like, why aren't you enjoying time with your friends? And this was the exact point that I was also starting to hit my growth spurt. So, you know, every kid kind of has that little like awkward, like chubby phase, like whatever. And that was what I was coming from. And I was starting to hit my growth spurt. And so I was starting to lean out. And so that mixed with also watching what I was eating and then slowly starting to like restrict led to me basically by the winter time being extremely skinny and to a point that it was very concerning. I mean, I went down in weight fast. I don't know specific numbers of how much I weighed, but I know that the way that I looked, I'm gonna describe how I looked. And it's honestly, it's kind of sickening thinking about it now. I was always purple. Like, my skin was always purple. My face was so sunken in. Sorry, just like thinking about that poor girl who was just so sad and just didn't like herself so much. It's just hard to like describe it. Like, I haven't really gone back to this place in a long time, but I'm happy to. Like, I love doing it. It just kind of like makes me choked up. I'm not gonna like sob, but it just makes me choked up thinking about it. But my face was so, like, it looked like a skeleton. It was so sunken in. Like, my cheekbones were just so sunken in. And my jaw, like the skin underneath your jaw, like it literally went up because I was so tiny. My forehead looked huge. Like, it looked like an alien face. I mean, I still had these big eyes that the Lord has blessed me with. I love my big eyes. Or my white eyes. They're kind of small, but they're like big because I always keep them very open. I don't know. But my eyes looked way big because my face was so small. And my chest was really bony. You could see all the bones in my chest. You could see the bone that like sticks out on the top of your shoulder, the little like ball round part. You could see a lot of that. The worst of it was my legs. My legs were, think of like a pretzel stick and then add a little knob in the middle. Like, my legs were tiny, when I tell you tiny, like, it would be, like, size 00 leggings being baggy tiny. That's how tiny my legs were. And the most sickening part of all of it is that I would look in the mirror and think that I was fat. And in today's world, I know that fat is a word that has lots of, like, connotations to it, positive, negative. People have lots of thoughts around that word. And at the time, my thought of the word fat and of being fat was bad. And I feared it. Today, I just think of it as a describing word. I think unhealthy is bad, but unhealthy can be skinny. Unhealthy can be fat. Unhealthy can be a lot of different ways that a body can look. I also think healthy can be skinny and healthy can be fat. If you are fueling yourself properly, if you have a mentally good relationship with food, emotionally a good relationship with food and with exercise, and your body is operating in the way that the Lord intended it to be, that is healthy. So whatever the outcome of the body that you have from that is health. I didn't take a class on that. I didn't take a quiz on or study anything. But from what I've been through and from what I know, all bodies are just so different. And to compare yourself with any other body is a dangerous thing. So I would compare myself to someone larger. I would compare myself to people smaller. The way that I saw myself was not the way that I looked. And I didn't realize that I had a problem until about a year in. So I was tiny. My ribs would stick out. My stomach would bulge because my body was just so hungry. My body was so hungry that it became not hungry. And it started eating away at, like, the muscle inside of my body. That's what your body does, is it will survive. Our bodies, like, in the Bible, people fasted. Like, our bodies can operate without food, but it will find a way to continue to operate. And so I started getting really cold all the time. I was always cold. And when I was cold, then it would put me in a bad mood because I could not get warm. My hands had awful circulation. They were purple. They were cracking. I lost a lot of my hair. Like, my hair would just fall out in the shower. I'm trying to think of other things. My bones were just very frail. You could see every bone in my knee. I mean, every bone in my knee. And so, yeah. So then I realized I had a problem when I went to my first day at therapy. Still didn't think I had a problem. And they admitted me into therapy. My parents made me, you know, go into therapy. And I hated it. I hated it. Until I started recovering, and then I loved it. But it was hard. And I went to therapy with my mom. My mom was with me during my entire eating disorder for 2 years. And that was hard on our relationship. That was hard on our family. That was hard for me and my sister. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anybody. I isolated myself so much to the point that I thought everyone was against me. My mom and I would not have a conversation that did not revolve around the eating disorder. And that was hard. And that was 2 years of that. And then I'll go into specifics after. And then, then my seventh grade year, I was spring semester. I was playing baseball and I was playing second. And the ball comes to second, so I reach down to grab it. And as I'm coming up, the boy running from first to second is like, oh, I'm going to jump over her to get to third. So he jumps over me as I'm coming up and he knees me in the head. I'm so underweight at this point. I like literally go airborne and flop on the ground. Like his knee like knocked me out. My teeth were like imprinted in my cheek. And yeah, I suffered a really bad concussion and I was out for the rest of the semester. And I was on bed rest. And at this point, I think I had like already been put off of exercise because I had like exercised way too much. And at that point, yeah, I was just sitting all day in a chair. And I don't remember the exact moment, but I just got better. I don't know what the turning point was on the earth, but all I do know is that that is how I came to really understand who the Lord was. I've always loved Jesus. I've always known Jesus is the Son of God, and he's always been Lord and Savior of my life from the moment I can remember learning who Jesus was, like when I was young. But the Lord and I suffered during my relationship. Well, I mean, he didn't suffer. Our relationship suffered. And I remember eating like a Chick-fil-A wrap or something post-concussion. And I was just like, I'm eating. I want to eat. I want to eat more. And I'm happy about that. I'm not scared of this. And then it was like, this is the Lord. This is a miracle. Because what nerve can you hit in someone's head to heal them from an eating disorder? Like, that is a miracle story. And I had always grown up reading the Bible. I've read the Bible very religiously. I've been obsessed with the Bible. Like, I love the Bible. And I had never viewed it as a living text that still occurs today. I had always viewed it as like, this is history of why I believe what I believe. And I feel like that was the Lord being like, listen, I still perform miracles today. Like, if I need to knock some sense into you, I will. And then summer before eighth grade year, I didn't think about food at all. And that whole year was just like recovery, eating whatever I wanted. It was great. I was thriving. The Lord and I were thriving. It was amazing. And then I ate whatever the heck I wanted. And then life was great until junior year of high school. And I'll go through these next two relapses a little bit quicker because I kind of just want to focus on like the initial anorexia eating disorder. However, I think it's important to touch on these as well because my junior year, that was COVID, and I started restricting food again and eating really, really small because I liked how it made my body feel. And I started doing that right before COVID. And then once COVID hit, I had full-on orthorexia, which is obsession with eating healthy, over-exercise, just basically healthy living. So I hid behind the trap of, well, I'm eating. It's not like I'm not eating, but I would freak out if it wasn't a food that was on my like safe food, healthy food list, or if I didn't prepare it and didn't know what was going into it. I was exercising extreme amounts to the point that like I was gaining weight because I was becoming so puffy because my body was just holding on to as much as it could get because it wasn't getting anything. And then yeah, went back into therapy, came out of that, senior year started, and I had a pretty bad breakup, and this isn't his fault at all, but as like a coping mechanism, when we did break up, I kind of like teetered back into that orthorexia, just using exercise as a way to cope, and then it became unhealthy. And the reason we do these things is because like that's what I know I can control, and instead of going to the Lord who will never fail me and taking my problems to him and turning to him, I tried to fill a void myself by exercising because I know I can control that. So then I realized that, came out of that spring-ish semester, I found a really great group of friends my senior year spring semester, and just realized, like, life is so much more fun when you have good friends who love you, and let's just, like, live this awesome life together. And yeah, so kind of came out of that. And then I went to college, and my freshman year of college was horrible. And I had anorexia and orthorexia tools that I latched onto and took to that freshman year, first semester of college with me, because I felt so out of control. I was not in my element. You know, I was the theater girl. And then I went to a theater school where everyone was the theater girl. So who am I now? Oh, you're Abby Murphy. You like to run, right? Oh yeah, so I'm the runner. So now I have to live up to this expectation that I'm a runner. Okay, so then I'm a runner. So, oh shoot, I'm really, really busy. I don't think I have time to eat today. Oh, I don't think I have time to eat tomorrow. Oh, I blah, 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 blah. Oh, I feel fine whenever I don't eat. Oh, I actually like this feeling. Oh, now I'm losing weight. Oh, now I kind of like how that looks. Oh, now I am losing control and I can't go a day where I don't run, walk, and skip a meal. Oh, now I'm losing even more control because, you know, it feels nice when you start because you control it, but then there's a point where it controls you if you abuse that. And it's hard. And none of my friends knew that I was going through it. I feel so bad because, and my freshman year roommate and I have talked about this, but I completely shut her out. I shut out my sweet mates. I was not well. I was not well. And I hated school. I just hated all of it. I was so severely depressed. I was so depressed. And the only way I knew how to cope was from what I knew, which was, you know, when you're depressed, you don't really like yourself. And, you know, my thought was like, well, if I don't like myself, then I'm just going to cause myself pain. And that pain is going to be through hunger. And it's going to be, you know, I don't know why the brain does these things. But yeah, I went on winter break and I went on a walk with my mom, and I just remember looking at her and being like, I am so tired of this. I need help. I want my life back. So that winter break was full recovery mode. I got a dietitian. I got a therapist. I was like, I want my period. I haven't had my period in years. I want to be a normal girl. Like, I want my life back. So then we went to the beach for a couple weeks, and that winter break mixed with the beach was just a lot of time of solitude and a very quick recovering process of just being like, you've had this experience twice. You know how to get out of this. It's just a matter of when you choose to implement those things. And so the process of getting out of it was a lot faster because, you know, the Lord uses those experiences for us. Like, I'm not just going to go through that and not be able to, like, look back on that time and be like, I've been through that. Like, the Lord saying, Abby, I've helped you through this. I can help you through this again. So it was a very quick turnaround. And I went back that spring semester of college and thrived. And so now I'm here, in and out of a period, trying to heal. Especially the last 2 years, I've felt like a really, really healthy relationship and grown a lot in what it looks like to feel myself, and I'm continuing to do that. And I would be lying if I told you that, like, there weren't still toxic thinking patterns that come into my head that I have to fight. And I look at them and I know that they're wrong, but trying to not follow through with those toxic thoughts is the hard part right now, which is what I talk to my therapist about. You know, we've been going on vacation a lot, and so my schedule's kind of off, and I'm realizing that I struggle a lot with not being on my own schedule. And so, you know, I've noticed when I'm on vacation, it's like, okay, well, I don't really know when everybody else is going to want to eat. And so, like, I don't really know when I'm supposed to eat. So I'm just going to wait, even though I'm hungry, because I don't know when everybody else is going to eat and I want to be hungry when they're hungry. And I realized the toxicity in that, and saying, if you're hungry, Abby, eat food. Like, society today has totally just glorified the eating disorder and glorified what it looks like to not eat. And yeah, it's really sad because I'm trying to differentiate reality and toxicity. And yeah, I want to be open about that because I look at those thoughts, I realize that they are toxic and that is not correct. And not following through with that is uncomfortable. And discomfort is hard. But you've got to continue with what you know is right, even if it's uncomfortable, because then it starts to become comfortable, which is what I'm finding right now. And it's really nice and it's very freeing. So that's like the overview of all of that. Going back to anorexia, my 5th through 7th grade year. My 6th grade year, that's when people started noticing. I mean, it's obvious. You've got this tiny little girl up on the stage. I'm still doing theater, never stopped doing theater. You've got this tiny girl up on the stage who looks so small compared to everybody else. I looked like I could break. Like, I remember my mom telling me she was watching me on the stage and was just terrified that I would, like, break, literally. And that was hard. That was really, really hard because I still saw myself as, like, ugly and large and didn't want to eat ever. I remember, and I think I told this on my first eating disorder episode. I remember before one day in 7th grade, my mom told me I had to eat a banana before I went to school. And I would not do it. And it was bad. It was really bad. And she would be fine with me sharing this story, but she lowered it to half a banana. And I don't know what series of events led us to end up in this position, but somehow I was on the floor on my back, arms out like in a starfish position, and she was on top of me with her hands holding down my arms and her feet holding down my legs because I was slapping her and like hitting her from the floor and just sobbing. And that, for a mother and daughter to go through that, is so hard. Because that was the normal. And that was our everyday. I mean, I hated her. I hated God. Like, I was filled with so much hatred because I hated myself. Like, I would wake up in the mornings and stay in the bed 2 extra hours just so that I didn't have to go downstairs and eat. And I would just lay there, miss out on 2 hours of life because I was hiding from food, like a piece of bread. I was scared of a piece of bread. I remember my uncle made me a smoothie and it had like fruit in it. And at this point, like, we didn't really tell anyone. People obviously knew, but we just said I hit a growth spurt. But my uncle made me a smoothie and I was like, oh, smoothie, healthy. Okay, I'll drink it. Started drinking it. And then I was like, what'd you put in this? And he was like, blah, blah, fruit, blah, 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 a couple scoops of ice cream. I flipped. I had a full-on meltdown. I was screaming, crying, went in the bed. Like, just to know that I caused other people so much pain, but I also was just so controlled by this. Like, I feel like a lot of people that don't come from this world don't really understand that it's not just a matter of, like, just eat. It is not, you're not trying to not feed yourself. You are, it's a mental disorder. It turned me into someone that I wasn't. It is something that you think you can control. And when your life feels out of control, you can control how much you eat. You can control how much you exercise. The eating disorder is not, well, don't hear what I'm not saying. I mean, you are not eating, but it's a control thing. It's an addiction to a feeling. It's something, it's basically slowly killing yourself. And that, I say that fully believing that statement. I am starving myself. And to a certain point, my body's going to stop working. And that is a form of slowly killing yourself. It's a slow pain. I remember laying in bed, and this is, again, why I put the trigger warning in here, but I remember laying in bed in the mornings and waking up and being like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't. This is too hard. I remember sitting in my parents' bed. I started sleeping with my parents at that time. I don't know why, but I just did. And I remember sitting in my bed and sitting on my mom's side of the bed. And I sat straight up. It was just me in the bed. And I talked to God in my head. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? Like, why are you putting me through this? This is horrible. Like, do you hate me? I'd become so distant from the Lord. One time during my seventh grade year, I had to study for biology. And I went in the guest room and I studied. And man, it was so hard. Sorry. I just, like, got a flash of my mom came in. I'll tell the story, but after what this happened, like, my mom came in and I remember so much from this time in my life, but I was laying on the bed just exhausted because I had just had a meltdown panic attack. And I just remember her rubbing my head and me just being like, I'm so tired. I was so tired. And I remember her looking down at me and just comforting me. And I was so awful to her. She still sat with me in that time. And rubbed my head and just sat with me and loved me, even though I was horrible. I was so horrible to her, and I was so rude. It made her life so hard. And again, it's not my fault. I was overtaken by a mental illness that was bigger than me, but, you know, it still came through me. And it's hard. It's really hard just to think. And, you know, we're out of it now. Praise the Lord. But, man, that was, yeah, it's tough. But what happened then, anyways, so what happened was I went to go study and I just got so angry. I think I had, like, eaten bird food. I don't know. And I don't know what caused me to start just freaking out, but I just started having a panic attack, and I didn't know it was a panic attack at the time, but I just started screaming. I mean, literally screaming. And these, like, scream meltdowns were very common during this time of my life. Yeah, I just remember screaming in the room and crying and sobbing. And I saw Jesus on the other side of the room. And I just started yelling at him. I saw him. Like, I didn't see an image, but I saw, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he was in the room. I know I sound crazy, but if I sound crazy for Jesus, I don't want to sound any other way. I don't want to sound insane. because I know he was in that room with me. And I was just yelling at him. And I don't remember what, but I remember feeling him there. Like, my body was tingling, like he was in the room. And then I just collapsed on the bed and I was exhausted, and my mom came in and I went back. I told her the story. We talked about the story a little while after, like after I'd recovered and whatever. And she was like, "You saw Jesus?" And I was like, "Yeah, like he was in the room." And she was like, "I prayed that he would make himself known." While, because I mean, she could hear me, like I was screaming. She was like, "I prayed that he would make himself known, that you would feel him during that time." And if that doesn't like literally give you full body Holy Spirit chills, I don't know what will. All that to say, those were all of like, I have so many stories and they're very interesting to talk about. But the after of coming out of that mental illness was life through a whole new lens. Like, you realize, like, the grass, like, feels better on your feet and the wind blows a little bit more and the skies look a little bit more blue. And, you know, then I went through extreme hunger, which is, if you don't know, like after you have an eating disorder, your body for so long has been like shut off that when you start fueling it, it goes into this thing called extreme hunger, to where you can basically eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and you don't get full because your body has just not been used to that for so long. It's totally normal. It's a part of recovery. And then it evens out and it's fine. And it's a little scary at first because you're like, whoa, I'm kind of eating a lot. But then it all evens out. And life after the eating disorder, there is life after the eating disorder, and it is beautiful. You just have to get there, and you can, because I didn't have to go to a facility. I didn't have to go to like a treatment center, praise the Lord, but I almost did. And I was presented with, if you don't gain X amount of pounds by this time, we are putting you in a facility. And man, oh man, if I learned anything about myself during that time, it is that if I want something, I'm going to achieve it, because I gained a lot of pounds in a very short amount of time because I was not going to a facility. And the reason for it was because I was like, I'm not going to have people know that I went to a facility. Like, I'm not going to be the girl that went to a facility. And looking back, that is such a prideful thing to think, because eating disorder treatment facilities, depending on which one you get in, I don't want to say for all, but for those that I know that have been in eating disorder treatment facilities, it has literally, like, they heal. It is such a beautiful thing. Now, I also hear some stories where they're kind of bad and some do things that I don't agree with. So it's a toss up. But what I will say is that it was very prideful of me to be like, I don't want people to know I have a problem. I don't want people to know. Like, I didn't tell anyone I had a therapist. I didn't tell anyone I blah, 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 blah. And now I'm sitting here, like, literally talking about it fully on a podcast. And if that 7th grade girl who gained so much weight so that she wouldn't have people know her problem knew that she was talking on a microphone about it now to lots of people and sharing all the deepest, darkest details of her life about it, she'd be like, ugh. But I've had so many connections in my life where people have freakishly experienced the same things, female and male. Let me just go on a side tangent real quick. Men, a lot of men, more men than we think, struggle with body image and with eating disorders. It needs to be more talked about. Something that I also think needs to be more talked about is the fact that society today has a warped version of what fueling yourself and feeding yourself looks like, and it is unhealthy. It is unhealthy, and we all believe it. Do I believe that I have the end-all be-all way of eating, the correct way of eating? Absolutely not. I think everyone's bodies are different. But I also think that society has trained us to think we have to cut out all this stuff or eat certain ways or blah, 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 or do this, blah, 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 blah. There's just too much focus around it. Eat from the land. If you want to know how to properly eat, maybe I'll do an episode on this, but if you want to know how to properly eat, go to the Bible. Like, there is information about there on how to feed your body, what to feed your body with. It is biblical. Being healthy is biblical. Anyways, let me take a breather. I'm going on my soapbox. Not the topic of today. Today is diving into the eating disorder story, which I feel like I have done. I could talk about it for hours. I could literally talk about it for hours. But the reason I'm so passionate about fitness and faith now is because of that story. Because through that, I became so close with the Lord. And if I would not have experienced my eating disorder during that time in my life, I would not have the same relationship with the Lord that I have today. I'm so grateful that he truly performed a miracle in my life. And everyone's recovery is different. But the Lord, and I don't want to over-spiritualize things either. Like, I got healthy because I started eating, you know? Like, I did eat and then I got healthy, then my brain healed, my stomach healed. Yes. But you cannot deny you can't deny my personal experience. And I got knocked in the head. And then I didn't struggle with eating food. If that is not the Lord, I don't know what is. If you don't believe in my Jesus, in my God, I'm not going to sit here and condemn you. But I am going to say, from my story, that is a power that is powerful. So I would seriously consider looking into who Jesus is. Because when he comes back, it's going to be terrifying in the best way. But I know that I am going to go with him and live with him forever when he comes back on this earth. Now, let me clear up. The reason I believe in Jesus is not because of that story. The reason I believe in Jesus stemmed a long time before that. It was the way I was brought up. It was going to church, and it was me proclaiming and saying, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. However, I did not like God. I fought with God a lot during the eating disorder, and he knocked some sense into me and showed me just the smallest amount of his power. And for that, I'm so grateful, because it led me to start worshiping, and then starting to worship. I worshiped at a different church, and then now I'm employed at that church, and I have a podcast where I talk about him all the time, and it's so life-giving and so amazing, and I'm so blessed to be able to do it. I don't deserve it at all, but I truly believe that the experiences that I've had in this life have shaped me to be able to be here today. And without that, those hard times that were so hard, I didn't think I was going to get out of it and didn't want to get out of it. I wanted to stay there and just disappear. And I say this to encourage others, not to brag. But we are called to boast in the Lord. The Bible says boast in the Lord. Like, I am made righteous because of him. And I get to live each day, whether good or bad, whether hard or easy, knowing that the Lord is with me. He is in me. And so even when I feel like I don't really like myself today, and those thoughts are not as extreme as when I was younger, but, you know, I love myself. I really do love myself, and I love my body. But, you know, there are some days still that I struggle, and I'm like, I don't like the way my body looks today. And then I just have to keep my chin up and say, the Lord created me in his image. Move on. Get out of the mirror. Go. I've really found a passion with running. I've really found a passion with fueling myself, with lifting. I've found a passion with eating properly. But if all of that isn't rooted in my faith, and I don't start with prayer or with the word or with the Bible, it will overtake me. It will. And it'll become unhealthy. And sadly, I have to suffer the consequences of my previous actions, but that's way better than still living in the prison of the eating disorder. I feel like I could go on forever and ever and ever. If you want a part two to this episode or me to talk about this topic with Ryan and see kind of like his thoughts on it as an outsider, as someone who, you know, is hearing the story, or if you want me to invite my mom on the podcast, I mean, she was with me. So like she was with me every step of the way. I was basically under surveillance with her. I mean, she was with me every step of the way. If you want to hear a parent's perspective on it, or maybe I invite my sister and we hear like a sister's perspective on it. If you want to hear anything more about this topic or certain things about my eating disorder story, or if you want to hear more about like my recovery story, or if you want to hear more about like the two times that I relapsed, any of that, you know, I focus mostly just on like the anorexia side of things today, but yeah, it's definitely something that I'll forever be passionate about because of what I've gone through. If you want to hear any more involving any of this, or even where I'm at now, how I'm fueling myself now, how I keep it in check, how, you know, whatever, let me know. Whether it be on the DMs, on the Instagram at That's Life Potty, PODDY, on the YouTube, if you're watching this, like comment some questions that you have. On the Spotify, if you're listening, you can, you know, ask the questions in the little like question thingy below. I don't really know about the other streaming services. I know we're on like a bunch of streaming services. I don't know how they all work. I have Spotify, so that's why I know how Spotify works. Same with TikTok. We have TikTok, That's Life Potty. Go on there, DM us. I'm so sorry. I just coughed. I'm probably not going to edit it out. That's, it's really tough for my headphone users there. But anyways, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what you're going through, have gone through, or will go through, know that I am rooting for you. You are supposed to be on this earth. You will get through it. You will. You may not feel like it, but you will. Find someone, tell someone, tell one person. Someone needs to know. Go to the Lord. Whether you're angry with him or whether you're happy with him, he wants you for you. He doesn't want a polished version of you. I love you. Jesus loves you. Reach out to someone you love. If you need help, you know where to go. That's life.